online from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Thank you for connecting. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Thursday to you. I don't know why lately Thursdays have just kind of jumped out at me like, wow, it's Thursday already. How about that? So here we are, Thursday the 23rd of September, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So we've got immigration. We've got, they are working in Washington. The left side of the cable news is just holding their heart about, we've got a debt ceiling limitation, we've got $3.5 trillion, which is really a $5 trillion spending plan, and we've got all these other things that we have to get done, and it all has to be done before next week. So they're thinking about Monday, a deadline for some of this. They're worried about a government shutdown every time. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, doesn't bother me. I know... Every time I say that, somebody calls and says, oh, you don't understand. We do need the government for this, and we need it for that. And I'm going, every shutdown that I have been through, including the infamous one when Monica Lewinsky met Bill Clinton, it was during the government shutdown. That's how she was able to get into the Oval Office. Well, she worked in the White House, but, I mean, just because you work in the White House doesn't mean you can go wander into the Oval Office. Anyway, I've never, ever skipped a beat. I've never missed anything. I never felt like I was somehow left out in the jungle. I mean, it was okay. So I just wish if they were going to do a government shutdown, the way they would do it is not only would the members of Congress not get paid and their staff. Not to be mean to their staff, but do you know what their staff would do to them if they were not going to get paid? They would do everything they could to make them shape up and get something done. So have the incentive right there that they don't get paid, and then they don't get paid even when they resolve their shutdown. It's just money that is not, I don't know, give the money, just save the money. How about save the money? They don't know what that means in Washington. So we've got that. We've got they're trying to figure the problem that they're having and why CNN and MSNBC are so over the top about all of this is that these spending bills are, they say they're in trouble. It looks like it. But I've seen these people before. They use sleight of hand. They use trickery. They use whatever they can. But the problem they have is that the squad, which is coming out as very anti-Semitic again this week, we'll get to that in a minute. But they are saying unless it has all this spending in it for things that we want, we're going to vote no on this thing. And then you got the Republicans saying it's too much spending, so we're going to vote no on this thing. So it looks like Joe Biden's big, I can reach across the aisle, I can do all this, Mr. Moderate. He's nothing of the sort. So he's got problems with Democrats in D.C. that are having troubles. And so since they do have the majority in the House, and a 50 plus one majority in the Senate for spending things. Mitch McConnell came out and said, hey, you don't need us. I mean, the Republicans have been guilty of spending, upping the debt limit and more spending and all that. But this time, he's right. So they're not going to touch it with a 100-foot pole. They're going, okay, Democrats, it's all yours. And this is the game they play where they try and blame the other party for whatever it is that people don't like. So that's what's going on there. They don't know if they're going to get all that through. And I honestly, as far as if the government shuts down, I don't really care. Because it won't be forever. Yeah, well, no, I'm not anti-government. We need the government for things. They don't do a very good job at anything, but we need them for some things. 855-295-6600. Dale's been waiting patiently. Hello, Dale. I think. Dale?
Hello. I'm here.
Yeah, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Hi. So, I got two things for you. I called about one thing that is really burning my ass right now. They had listened to y'all talk about it. But here's another one. As far as the government shutdown goes, life goes on. So be
yeah.
it. The other
yeah.
thing is, apparently when I was growing up in school, I was taught something that the rest of the country has forgotten. We were all immigrants when we came to the United States 245 years ago?
I was born here. I don't know about you, but I didn't come here. I was born here.
Right, but
most
but,
of us were.
But right. Well, I was born here too. But originally, back in when Columbus came here, and everybody else that worked their way over here across the pond, we were all immigrants when we came here. So in reality, what's going on at the border? If we could just figure out how to let those people in and make them citizens, so they have to pay taxes and they have to have IDs to vote, just like the rest of us, everything should be fine. Do you think I'm wrong or am I right?
So anybody can come in? Any and all?
Why not? They all got here originally. We all got here originally.
Because
we gotta
the reason is, the reason is, 200 years ago, we were not a spot that people wanted to come. We weren't some country that was giving out benefits, paying their medical bills, giving them free education. We weren't providing them housing. We weren't doing any of that stuff. Now we have made it so generous that people around the world want to come here because we are one of the top living standards in the world. So, of course, it's different today than it was then. You know that. This isn't anywhere. And so I've talked about this a couple of different times recently. Pew Research went back and they went around the world and they asked the question, if you weren't living in this country, where would you want to live? And it was some heavy, heavy majority wanted to live in the United States. So we have 300 million people in this country. So would you like it to be 600 million, 800 million, a billion?
As long as the people in Washington can come up with a way so we make everybody a citizen and everybody has got to pay taxes and all the rest of it. Because
you're assuming these people will have jobs. You're assuming that they will not be on government programs, welfare.
You know,
Are you going to get rid of welfare? How are you going to employ them so that they have income that they can pay taxes on?
Well,
I don't think you're not in the real world, Dale. I appreciate the call, but come on. We cannot handle a billion people. And that's what we would have if we just said anybody is open. If you're an open borders guy, I know you're probably not alone. But anyway, I got to go. I appreciate your call, but that's not realistic. Dream on somewhere else. I want to talk to you about police reform. We got the vaccine boosters as well. This police reform is... they're making a big deal about it because of the fact that it has failed. And it's failed, and that what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it sound... They're trying to... Well, The people that stopped on the negotiations for police reform were the Democrats. Cory Booker, Karen Bass, that group of Democrats that were involved with Senator Tim Scott on coming up with a way to have some sort of police reform. And what has happened is the Democrats said, we're not getting anywhere. And Tim Scott says, we've made a lot of progress, but there are some areas we cannot agree on. So instead, what they have done is the Democrats are going, we tried to get police reform, and yet we can't do it. And what it is a bill that they were trying to pass that had, it all relates back to May of last year, May of 2020. And Minneapolis and George Floyd, I think it had George Floyd's name on it. And I said at the time, everybody was going, oh, this is it. We're going to change race relations. We're together. We're marching in the streets. We're having protests. We're painting Black Lives Matter on the streets. This is finally we've broken through. And I didn't want to sound like Mr. Negative, but I went, no, I'm sorry. George Floyd's death was tragic. And it was absolutely the worst of policing that you could possibly imagine. But I said at the time, and I've been proven right again, no, it's not going to change a thing. So they can't pass this bill because the Democrats want all kinds of things. And what Tim Scott is saying is, well, we've agreed on a lot of it. Why don't we just pass that part? And we'll continue to work on the rest of it, but let's pass some police reform. And the Democrats have said, nope, we want, Cory Booker literally said, I want comprehensive police reform. Comprehensive is the word in Washington, whether you're talking about police reform or immigration, which basically says we all have to agree on everything. That will never happen. Not between you, me, not between 535 people in Congress. Anyway, I'll dig into this a little bit when we come back. 855-295-6600. I have a different opinion. You agree with me or you are up. Bleep, 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 bleep. Well, we're getting a word out of, and by the I need to caution for all of you listening on KWAM in Memphis. This is a shooting in Colliersville, Tennessee, suburb of Memphis, Tennessee. But the Memphis station takes this show on a delayed broadcast, so we're not live. We're a couple of hours behind by the time you hear it in Memphis. But there's a shooting at a Kroger grocery store in Colliersville. And the latest that we have, this is the early reports. These numbers could change, but police are saying 13 people have been shot at this Kroger store. One dead, one victim that is dead. The shooter is dead from what police believe was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So 13 people, one victim dead, the shooter is dead. And I'm sure for those of you in Memphis, you'll get more details as this unveils. But just wanted to, here we go again. I mean, these happen from time to time, and we'll find out. And then we'll ask all the normal questions about, oh, who is this person? And obviously wasn't mentally right. And how did he get or she get a gun or whatever, you know, all the same stuff over and over and over again at a grocery store. So here we are on a Thursday afternoon, and you go down to get a little grocery shopping done, and some nut job comes in and takes down a bunch of just innocent people. 855-295-6600. You bet. At this police reform, speaking of police, Who do you call when something like this happens? Red Cross? No, you call the police. So police reform isn't going to happen. But what bothers me about this is that Cory Booker is making a big deal about, oh, yeah, we're never going to give up on this. We're never going to give up on police reform. Yet he's the one who stopped. Let's play cut three because he's blaming partisan politics, and he's the one that's playing it. Cut three.
Again, I have a friendship with the people I was negotiating with and a trust. I did not feel like that trust was betrayed at the negotiating table. I felt like this fell apart because, again, of different philosophies. I think from civil rights to suffrage, the federal government has a role to play in holding police departments accountable at a significant level. We could not agree on those basic issues, and that's why this came apart. We've got to stop in this country demonizing us with broad partisan swaths. It is not going to be constructive. But we have to keep demanding, and all of those activists, the largest civil rights demonstrations in the history of our country, in communities that didn't even have minority populations of any significance, we have to deliver on meaningful police reform, or we will be back here discussing the continued videotapes that are being captured of unarmed African Americans unjustly killed or beaten. We have work to do, and I will not stop in that pursuit.
Yeah. So he's very, very honorable, puts himself on top of the pedestal and everything else. No, this is about the fact that this is a perfect issue that they are teeing up for next year. And they will try and blame Republicans for stopping police reform. Tim Scott says, I'm still at the table. And by the way, if we can't agree on 100%, the 90% that we have agreed to, why don't we just pass that? But Cory Booker says, no, we need comprehensive police reform, which means we must agree 100% on everything, and that will never happen, which is a way to basically tee it up for blaming the other side when the election time, next election comes around, which will be next November, November 22. It's so shameful. Cheryl Dorsey, LAPD, was asked if she's disappointed the bill failed. Cut 12.
Well, I mean, again, if anybody wants to look at the deal we struck
cut,
with the...
Cut 12. 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. We don't have time. Cheryl Dorsey's former LAPD and basically says that she is disappointed the bill failed. But I don't know how you ever can hope to get 100% approval. It's impossible. But that's what Cory Booker is saying, is that unless we get 100% of what I want, then I'm walking away from the table, and he will blame the Republicans for this. But most of this, by the way, I understand about national standards, so small departments have same standards as big departments. But policing is something that should be handled mostly by your local community.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand. Talk back, Tom Sullivan.
We're keeping an eye on Memphis. Shooting at the Kroger store in Collierville, and they've got the police there say they still have an active scene. Again, we are slightly delayed in Memphis, so for those of you in Memphis on KWAM, this is at, it's 3:35 in the afternoon, so you'll be listening to this a little later, but they'll figure this out, and sadly it's almost a format now of the numbers will change. The argument will begin about where the person got the gun, mental health. What was the, because 13, we're not talking about somebody targeting one other person, some gang fight or family lover fight or anything. No, we're talking 13 people. So somebody walked into the Kroger store there and opened up. And by the grace of God, there go we. We all go to the grocery store. You just don't know. So this police reform. Let me read Senator Tim Scott, who I've told you, I have him pretty high on my list of people I admire for in politics. He writes a statement about it. He says, after months of making progress, I'm deeply disappointed Democrats have once again squandered an opportunity to implement meaningful reform. I made a promise never to walk away from the table because walking away means we're giving up. But he goes on about the fact that this is basically the group that wants to defund the police. And he says, defunding the police destabilizes our communities. I want to find this one sentence in here. Despite having plenty of agreement, Democrats said no because they could not let go of their push to defund our law enforcement. Once again, the left let their misguided idea of perfect be the enemy of good. So that's what they're doing. He says, I'll continue to work with anyone who is serious about finding bipartisan solutions. But there are the big hang up is qualified immunity. And I've talked about this before. I'm not quite sure. It seems that's also a local thing to me. It would seem to me that the police officers should have that negotiated into their contract with their police department, that the city or the county or the state should provide the officers with qualified immunity. I don't know what the federal government is doing. Even talking about it. But that's the excuse they're using, that they won't go forward because they need to have qualified immunity thrown out. And so the negotiators on the left have said, forget it, we're not going to go any further. What's also interesting about this is Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago unveiled her 2022 budget proposal yesterday or the day before. And lo and behold, it includes an increase in spending on law enforcement. Well, Chicago, I'm sure they're tired of all of us giving the Monday morning report about how many people were shot and killed over the weekend. But the mayor's Chicago budget plan is to boost police spending by up to $2 billion, up from $1.7. So this past weekend, 56 people shot, an alderman was attacked, 9 homicides. So Lori Lightfoot is now coming around and going, oh, maybe we need to beef up our police department. So she's seeing the light, but Cory Booker is so predictable. This is him going, I'm for all of this wonderful stuff. I need comprehensive police reform, which means I have to have everything my way or it's the highway. What they've agreed to was banning chokeholds. Okay, most departments have already done that. Limiting the transfer of military equipment. Not stopping it, limiting the transfer. I don't know why, but that's what they said they could agree to. Increasing mental health resources. So police departments, sheriff departments, various police organizations have said, we'll sign off on all of that. Cory Booker would not. Cheryl Dorsey, cut 12. She's former LAPD, was asked if she's disappointed in the fact that this thing fell apart.
Listen, I'm not disappointed at all. I'm a realist, and I never believed that this thing was going to pass. Tim Scott said from the very beginning that qualified immunity was a non-starter. He did talk a little bit about holding an agency accountable, but not individual officers. And so all we've really heard is lip service from these politicians. And the president and his VP have forgotten the very people who put them in office. And look at what they're doing on the border, sending out flights of Haitians 7 to 9 a day. It's disgusting how You know, they are treating us and how they are feigning that they want something done. Everyone is clutching their pearls, but the attorneys representing the family who named this bill after George Floyd understood with the $27 million history-breaking settlement, after that and a Chauvin conviction, little more would be done.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with her. Little more would be done. I knew it at the time. They're feigning concern. In other words, they're faking it. So I look at Cory Booker. I think he's as phony as a $3 bill. And this is a classic case of it. So I'm sure for you police officers out there, this isn't going to make any difference to you. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Looking down, I don't want to play any more Cory Booker. I got a lot of Cory Booker. I got a police officer. I need to dig into this a little bit more. Guy by the name of Sergeant David Gutierrez, who, this isn't about police reform. This is about this guy who is a sergeant. I think he's got 30 years of experience. Let me just check here real quick, because he, if so, then he's obviously able to quit because of the fact that there is a, it's about vaccines. He doesn't want to get the vaccine. So apparently this guy is, nearly 30 years. So he's also feigning it. Because any police officer with 30 years on the job has already qualified for a pretty healthy pension. But here's cut six, Officer Gutierrez saying he quit so others would not have to.
Well, when we received an email saying that you're going to have a vaccine by a certain date or face discipline up to including termination, and I took it as a threat. And because I don't plan to be vaccinated, and I decided to turn in my badge so I can speak up because others can't for fear of losing their job.
No, that's not, you're a phony. Sorry, Officer Gutierrez, you're a phony. You're not a phony about it. I guess you don't want to take the vaccine, but you have he's with the San Jose Police Department in California. He's got almost 30 years of experience. I'm not intimately familiar with the pension that they have in the San Jose Police Department, but any police department in California has a very rich pension. He'll be at work doing something else someplace else tomorrow, but he's not throwing himself on the sword. He won't lose a penny. But he's making a big show about it because of the fact that he doesn't want to get the vaccine, but he's got a big, fat pension waiting for him starting tomorrow. If he doesn't want to get the vaccine, that's one thing, but don't pretend that you're going to be throwing yourself on the sword. 855-295-6600. The president signed a deal with Kim Kardashian to let more people out of jail.
I love my president, but the more I hear about the Kardashians, I just feel like we're in the Twilight Zone.
Good news for you. I've got really good news for you. Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, has arrived on the border at Del Rio, Texas. Yes, he just parachuted in. I wonder, this is like the bat signal in the sky, and Batman would get in the Batmobile and all of a sudden he'd be off to wherever he was needed. I wonder if Al Sharpton has some sort of signal in the sky where, oh, I know what it was. Somebody... Did I hear the word race? Why, let me get my cape on. I'm off to Del Rio, Texas. I heard somebody say race. So Al's there. Reverend Al is on the scene. Jeez. What an ambulance chaser. What a sad, sad ambulance chaser. He's always sticking his nose into wherever there's a camera. Oh, Ray, you said race and there's cameras? I'm on my way. So Al Sharpton's on the scene. So that everything will be just fine in Del Rio. Al's going to take care of it. We can cross that one off. No more problems there. And this sergeant from the San Jose Police Department, I'm looking, if he doesn't want to get the vaccine, that's his business. I'm not going to tell him to. I disagree, but I'm not. I mean, he can choose what he wants to choose, but don't pretend like you're sacrificing 1 ounce of sweat. You get a big fat pension and it starts tomorrow. So don't play the victim. Oh, look at me. I'm quitting. No, you know what takes courage is somebody that is working their way up the chain of command, but they're not up to full retirement pension. Those are the ones that take courage to say, I'm leaving. But this does bring up the question about companies are going to face this exact scenario. And I'm going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see what companies do. How many people are they willing to lose to basically say, you have to get a vaccine or you don't work here? The one that comes to mind is United Airlines said all of their employees must be vaccinated, everybody. So if you're some pilot and you've been working up from the right seat, now you're a captain, you're in the left seat, are you going to quit and go to the bottom of the seniority at some regional airline somewhere? I mean, that would be courage. I don't know how many people are going to be lost and how many companies are going to change their observations. Speaking of pilots, I know of a story. I believe it was American Airlines. A friend of mine told me about this. This captain was telling the first officer, I'm not getting the vaccine. I don't believe in the vaccine. I think it's wrong. I'm not going to. And meantime, he started coughing and said he wasn't feeling good. So sure enough, they finished their flight, and this first officer goes home. He gets a call from the company telling him that the captain has tested positive with COVID and is very ill. So we want you, before you come back to work, you have to go, since you were in the cockpit with him, you have to go and get tested. So this young first officer went and got tested, and sure enough, he had COVID. So he has, I'm not sure how big his family is, but he has a teenage son who's a senior in high school. And so the son, the school found out that the dad was COVID positive. The son not only plays on the high school football team, this is his senior year, but had big plans for the homecoming festivities, the dance and everything else that goes with it. The school said, you can't play in the homecoming game. You can't attend the homecoming festivities. You can't go to the dance. So this pilot who thought that it's about me and my freedom and my body. No, it's not about. It's about the fact that you infected the guy sitting next to you, and now his son, even though his son isn't COVID positive, he's been around somebody who is, so the school won't let him participate in all these benefits. So it's not like a woman's right to choose. It affects you. It affects the next guy. It affects the coworkers. It affects their children. Because you don't want to be vaccinated. I'm not going to tell you have to. I'm just telling you, you have to understand this is not just about you. 855-295-6600. Where are we going? What happened to the guy with the Army guy? Let's go to Jennifer, find out what's going on. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hi, is this Tom?
Yep.
Hi, Tom. I disagree with you. You came out a little bit too early and called the San Jose police officer a phony. I disagree. I'm a former police officer, a current nurse, and I have a son on the San Jose PD, and I totally disagree with you on that. You have no idea what the circumstances are with this officer, PF. He could have a lot of retirement coming to him, but somebody does have to come out and speak up, because the younger ones can't risk it. So the older officers should come out.
Well, listen, but he can come out and he can come out and speak up and speak his mind and do all of that. Good for him. Certainly, I couldn't argue with that. But he's acting like he's sacrificing nothing, not a thing, and you know that.
No, I don't necessarily know that, and you don't either. And as a nurse,
he's been with. I know. I do know that. I do know that. He's got a pension, and a pretty darn good pension that is available to him tomorrow. He's got 30 years of service, and so he does the same thing like the pilot. He says, I have to decide what to do with my body. Well, it's not about your body, officer. It's about all the people that you deal with every day. I'm sorry. I think he's being a phony by pretending like he's sacrificing. He's not sacrificing at all.
I think you're overreacting. I don't know where your anger is coming from, but how do you know that the co-pilot wasn't infected by somebody else? You don't know that. You're just coming to conclusions. You're just jumping to conclusions.
That's not jumping to conclusions. You spend 8, 10, 12 hours with somebody that's got COVID in a small space. And lo and behold, the next day you've got COVID? Gee, I mean, I can't imagine where he got that from. All right, we'll agree to disagree. 855, I'm not angry. I'm just going, I don't like people who come out and try and pretend there's something they're not.